Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, and it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" We need to understand who Jesus is. The disciples were struggling to understand. Obviously, they had not read the end of the book like we have. Obviously, they didn't have a gospel already written out like we do. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John, four of them, as a matter of fact. They don't have the writings of Paul and Peter explaining things. They are watching it as it happens. They are seeing it as it happens, of course. They're listening as it happens. They're learning as it happens. And they're being challenged. And every now and then, they're going to struggle, just like we who know the end of the book still struggle today. I want to try to learn some things from this passage that will help me be a better Christian, a better disciple, a better person who walks with Jesus. I want you to notice, first of all, in verses 35 to 36, it says there, "That day when evening came, and he said to his disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him." I see this as a journey that they're making. Now, they've been on a walk with Jesus. They've been on a learning experience with Jesus. But they still have to make sure people are fed, taken care of, those type things in their own group. Plus, they probably have relatives and stuff. They're trying to take care of life like anybody else would. But they're on a specific journey with Jesus. Now, what I learned from that is I need to understand I'm on a journey with Jesus as well. I'm traveling through this life. One day I'll lay it all down. It'll be all over with. We learn it can happen quickly. This past week, for example, a family had dinner Tuesday night, and Wednesday night they're planning a funeral. That happened that quick. It can happen to any of us that quick. Unexpected. Even though you may have had health issues and maybe thought something might happen down the line, it's still the suddenness of it was quick. Or you hear about an accident taking someone out. People didn't have a chance to say goodbye at all. It's over with that quick. We're on a journey, and while we're on this journey, we don't know the end date. We just know that if we stay with Christ, we know where we're going. And along this journey, we're going to run into trouble once in a while. We're trying to live our lives for Jesus. We're trying to carry out the things He wants us to do, but we're going to run into trouble once in a while. So take a look at verse 37. "A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped." Anybody ever been in a boat that's been nearly swamped? I guess Dan in the Coast Guard there has experienced it. I experienced it as a duck hunter. We had Joey Dukes and I always went duck hunting together. And this one time, though, for some reason, he invited a couple other friends to go because they had a boat. So we all get in the boat. The young guy's on the back, and he hits the power. It's one of these square front boats, and when he hit the power with the weight and everything, the front end went down below the waterline. Now, when you're going forward, or whatever they call it in the maritime people, whatever they call it, when you're going forward and the front end of a boat goes down, where do you think the water is going? It just came right on in. And we're in waders. I don't know how deep the water is. Everybody's starting to holler, "Well, get the guns, get this." First things first, let's get Ron above any waterline. Okay, let's make sure that we can stand up. I found out we could stand up because waders will do what when they fill up with water? They will take you down. So I know what it's like to see one that's done like that. Some of you have experienced other ways, I'm pretty sure. I can't imagine being at one of these things and the thing just rocks up and down. So this, and then notice this is not just a normal storm. This is a squall. We're not talking about just a light rainstorm, are we? We're talking about heavy winds, everything getting blown around quite a bit. Now, what does that help me to learn as I'm traveling through my journey? Now remember, they're going from one side to the other. It's just part of life journey with Jesus. And all of a sudden, this big storm comes up. Powerful storm. Lightning, thunder, waves, everything blown all over the place. So, what do they do? They're going to get worried because they're facing a major storm. Something can happen. How about our storms that we face? I mean, anybody here struggle with anything in this life? I got to have a physical done in a few months. I'm not looking forward to the doctor telling me certain things. You know, I'm not looking forward to that. I'm pretty sure mine happens to be a female doctor, and she's going to probably tell me, you look great overall. You're a fantastic looking guy. I mean, I expect her to tell me that, right? Like normal. But you got a little body weight that needs to come off. Well, how much do you want me to weigh? 135 pounds at your height. I said, well, wait a minute, you got my height wrong. Let's go back and get a new height. But she's going to tell me I need to take it off, and then she's going to take a look at that diabetes count just to see. Right now, I'm at the borderline. I stay just below that number between physicals. I don't necessarily probably stay below that number, but I make sure when I get to the physical, it's just about right there. But she's going to tell me I need to work on things. I'm hoping when she gets done that she just simply says, this is what you need to work on, this is what you need to do. I'm praying that that blood work doesn't say, hey, we have to have more tests done. That's devastating when they say that, isn't it? It's struggling. It's a storm that comes in your life. Or some of you struggle with storms. You come home, the wife says, hey, the kids are giving us a problem. One of them's in trouble at school. One of them's got this problem going on. Some of them are, you hate to hear it, maybe a child's doing drugs, drinking. You don't want to hear, hey, your teenage daughter's pregnant. You don't want to hear that stuff, do you? That's a major storm that comes in life. How are you going to handle it? What are you going to do? Or you go to work. Everything was fine that morning when you got dressed, got ready to go, and you show up at work, and there's a notice that says we're going to have layoffs. We're going to have to. Nobody's going to have a job here next week at this time. What do? That's a storm, isn't it? Finances. Anybody have any financial storms in your life? We're in a little better position now, which we should be after so many years of putting a little bit away. We should be in better shape than we were. Anybody here gotten laid off at any time in your life? A couple of you? All right. And I've shared this with you before. Carol and I got married in March of 1975, way back last century, right? March 1975. And we bought a house just before we got married. We bought a house jointly owned and prepared to move into it after we got married. So we did that. We got car. Both of us have a car payment. Both of us, we have this mortgage payment. And we're fine. We're making just enough. I'm making just enough at my job there at McGee Plumbing Heating. She's making just enough money at her job. And we can pay our bills. But anybody familiar with 1975 might remember the oil embargo. And the economy went nuts and crazy. Inflation went all over the place. So people began to lay off. I got laid off and Carol got laid off. Now, how do you pay your bills? What do? You know, you look at each other and you know, then you start finding relatives. Anybody here got any money we can borrow to pay the bills, keep them current? You're afraid you're going to lose everything. You start job hunting. That's a major storm. And you probably have had storms worse than that. We got through it, of course, but what do you do in these storms? The disciples are in the boat and waves are all over the place. Water is washing into the boat or swamping in, whatever they're going to call it. It's coming in. I'm pretty sure it's a big enough boat that they're not going to, you know, they don't have to worry about like bailing a few bales. I mean, it's a bigger boat than that, but still, it's a struggle. So they're facing a storm. So put yourself in their shoes. You're facing a major storm in your life. So what do you do? What do you do when your world comes crashing down? What do? Huh? Pray to who? And what do you ask him? Guidance and strength. You sound like someone who's a little bit more mature in the faith. You know what I'd be crying out to say? God, why is this happening to me? What have I done? You know, when Carol and I got both laid off, I had just become a Christian that October. And then here we are laid off in November. You know, I can't remember all I thought and all I said, but I'm pretty sure somewhere along the line I said, God, I just became a follower of Jesus. You're supposed to take care of your people. You're supposed to be looking after your people. Why are you letting this happen to me and Carol? Carol's been a Christian for years. Why are you letting this happen? Some of you understand these type of things. Those of you that have ever struggled with fertility issues and you have trouble or you lose a child in miscarriage and you sit there and you ask God, God, what's wrong with us? Wouldn't we make good parents? Aren't we what some child would want? What's going on, God? Why are you letting this happen to us, God? Why am I laid off? Why is my finances in uproar? Why is my child in trouble? Why is our marriage struggling? Why, God? Anybody else done that over the years? You may not have said it in those terms, but I'm pretty sure you've had your moments. So here in this storm, they start to cry out. Look at verse 38. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Now, could you imagine him saying, yeah, I really don't care. Yeah, I don't care. I mean, I knew this was going to happen. I'm okay with it. You guys go ahead and drown. You really think that's Jesus' response? You know, where are you? Why have you been letting this happen to us? What's going on? Why aren't you awake and dealing with this? So, I've cried out to God at a few times in my life. You've cried out to God a few times in life. These people are crying out to Jesus and saying, why are you letting this happen? Don't you care about us at all? Well, in all of your situations in life, who has brought you through in the long run? God. So God has got this, right? God has got this. A lot of you have learned, just like you mentioned about prayer, it does not matter what I'm facing, even though it will shake me to the core, it does not matter, because no matter what happens, God has got this. I've lived long enough to know that you forget most of the things you've done. You can't remember the conversations you've had. You can't remember all the places you went to visit. Unless somebody whips out a photograph album. You know, I went to Pikes Peak with the National Guard camp. Went to Fort Carson, Colorado. I went to Pikes Peak. I can't tell you what Pikes Peak looks like right now. I've been to Germany. I've been up on the Rhine River cruise. Couldn't tell you the first thing about it. All that stuff occurred so many years ago. There's too much stuff been piled up since then. Unless I got a photograph album, I can't do it. But we all thought it was real important at the time, didn't we? Well, I've lived long enough to know what really important is where I'm putting my treasures at. Where my God is going to see me through. As I look back over the time, anybody here had a bad breakup when you were dating? Anybody here had a bad breakup? Why am I the only one that ever has these problems? You know, the worst thing you can do if you're dating somebody is to go off in the military and they send you a Dear John letter about 2 months into your training. I mean, that is just devastating. All right. So, been through that. Cried out to God. What's going on? What happened? If I had not joined the military, would everything still be okay? God, why did you let this happen? You remember Garth Brooks' song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers? If God answers this prayer, I'm not where I'm at today. Instead, God took me in a different direction, introduced me later to a very wonderful young lady, and next thing you know, I'm in Eastern North Carolina preaching the gospel. So, you wonder where God's at, but if you look back, you can see where God was bringing you through something. We struggled with having children. So what did God do when we finally could have children? He doubled up. He gave us twins. All right. So you can see where God's bringing you through. Unemployment. If God had not been unemployed, I wouldn't have gone to this job. If I hadn't gone to this job, this wouldn't have happened. The next thing you know, you're doing something that you didn't even think of. You're going off to Bible college. I'm using my own personal illustrations probably here ad nauseum for some of you. But I just want to point out, we can look back and see how God was doing things. But at the moment, we wonder where He's at. Well, we got to remember, God did it before. What will He do again? God's got this. So you see here, the disciples are going to be taught a lesson that God's got this. Look at verse 39. He got up. What did He do with the wind and the waves? He rebuked them, is the way the NIV says. That's one of these, hey, stop it. Stop it right now. And what did the waves do? What did the wind do? I mean, that's impressive, is it not? Our God, our Jesus, is impressive. So he rebuked the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. When you come out the other side of the storm, that you let God handle everything, there's a calmness that comes with it, a peace that comes with it. So God brought them safely through. Jesus got them through this thing. And we need to understand, no matter what the storm is in our life, God has got it. Look at verse 40 with me, please. He said to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? What is this a requirement to do? If the car won't start, you jump in and you turn it and it does absolutely nothing, what is the first thing you should check? That's probably what I would check. If it's not doing anything, it's got to be the battery issue. Or if you hear that, and then it stops, you're pretty sure it's the battery. All right, that's one of the first things you should check. Actually, what is the first thing? Well, if it doesn't start, you might check to see if it's got gas. You know, anybody here ever make that mistake? But usually if you get no noise, you're going to check the battery. I got a car that, my car is giving me a little bit of an issue, just a little bit of an issue. So when I go somewhere and pull and then stop, if a few minutes later, if I get back out in the car and start it, it starts fine, but I only go maybe 100 feet and it'll choke out on me. Then I can immediately, I switch it to neutral, immediately start it again, it's fine, put it back in gear, no problem. Been trying to figure out what the issue is. It's only done it a couple times here lately. It was doing it for a bunch there for a while. But I know if I've gone, right now I know if I go somewhere, before I, when I get back in the car again to start it the second time, I'm very careful where I'm at and I prepare for it. You got to learn to check things, right? Check things. Make sure you're ready. Before, those of you load up a bunch of kids in your car, what do you check to see before you start down the road? Huh? Seatbelts. Or make sure you got all of them. All right. Anybody ever left one? Everybody. I think they accidentally left me one time. I don't think it was intentional. But anyway, you check seatbelts. And you ask my grandkids, Grandpa, before he starts off, everybody buckled up? And they're all buckled up. Then we're ready to go. You do a check. So what I'm getting to is this. When you're in the middle of a situation, check your faith. Check your faith with what you're dealing with. If you're apprehensive, if you're anxious, if you're worried to death, you're causing yourself more issues than you need. You need to check your faith. Do I believe in God? I was talking with a man the other day down in, and he's struggling. He's in another state. He was struggling, and we got to talking a little bit. And he said, I'm kind of worried. I'm kind of anxious about this. I said, are you an immersed believer? Yeah. I said, is Jesus Christ your Lord? Is God your God? Yeah. I said, then let him deal with these issues. You just deal with whatever happens. You can't deal with what is. Just deal as things come to you. Check your faith. Any storm that you're dealing with, check your faith. Whatever the challenge is, check to see if your faith is ready and to deal with it. If not, how do you get more faith? Huh? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. It's been a challenge the last few weeks teaching Sunday school. First, you're sitting there teaching Sunday school and nobody's there. You got to pretend you're looking at everybody. I like to look around the room, so I'm pretending, trying to. It's the first couple times I did it, man, I was bored to death while I was teaching. All right, but it's kind of getting a little better with it as we go along. But I've been teaching from the Old Testament prophets, Hosea, Malachi, Zechariah, Zephaniah, Amos, Obadiah. I've been studying especially those minor prophets, and I tell you, I haven't looked at them in a long time. And some of that material is challenging. But at the same time, the theme starts emerging. These men of God were facing political challenges from their own people. They were facing challenges from foreign countries that are occupying them. They were facing challenges from their own brethren, their own brothers and sisters in the Lord. They were facing all these challenges as they tell them the truth. And what did they remain all the time? Faithful. They kept preaching the word. They kept teaching the word. They kept telling the people they need what they need to do. And it's a reminder to me that our God has got this thing. God is in control. We need to keep our faith. And if I read these Old Testament prophets, guess what I found my faith doing? Getting stronger. Growing. So, read the Word. Deepen your faith. And then the final thing is verse 41. It says here, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this guy? Who is this man? Who is he? Even the wind and the waves do what? Obey him. They're coming to a realization of who Jesus is. They're coming to a real realization who the Master is. Early on in my sermon, somewhere along the line, I said to something like this, if you really believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you really believe that He's the Son of God, if you really believe that, then there's nothing you won't do for God. The reason why we don't do the things that we're supposed to do is because we haven't been fully convinced in our mind that He's Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We're still playing the religious game. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you will step out and serve Him and you'll walk by faith every step of the way. If you're not sure, read the Gospels. The Gospels tell you, the book of John says, everything we've written, we could have written a whole bunch more, but everything we've written was that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, as you're traveling this journey that you're on, as you come encounter storms along the way, prepare in advance for the storms. When is the best time to get ready for a hurricane? Just before it comes or sometime before it comes. It's best to get ready, right? We go outside. We're putting blocks on things that we don't want to blow away. We're tying some things down. We get everything as ready as we can, and then we ride it out, right? The time is beforehand. So before the storms hit, deepen your faith all you can. But when the storms do hit, trust God to get you through. He has demonstrated that in the past, and He will continue to do that. Always know that God is with you all the time, and He's got this. My God is big enough that He can handle any issue. So check my faith, realize who He is, and go and serve Him. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the Scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations, I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the Scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins to get the Holy Spirit. We will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer, but you haven't joined the fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus. As a believer, I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.